Chapter 12. Deeds and Trusts. Oh, how I wish you could see what I see before us in the history of the churches. Mary Baker Eddy, 1903. It would appear that both Mrs. Eddy and her veteran directors were aware that the fifth director did not have the same status as the other four. It would also appear that Archibald McClellan, who had not yet met Mrs. Eddy, made an unexpected and uninvited visit to Pleasant View to complain about his inferior position on the 18th of March, or thereabouts, for the leader wrote to him on March 19th, "I require no apology. I was delighted to meet you, and intended to invite you and Mrs. McClellan to Pleasant View when we get over the present purchase of land in Boston." I reminded the directors of this intent and my inability to meet you that day and told them to tell you. My son from the far west was waiting at the Eagle Hotel to see me, hence my situation. Note well. I regret that your name cannot appear as a member of the CS Board of Directors in their deeds. I have twice urged this question, but Mr. Elder finds it cannot be legally so. It is most probable that Mrs. Eddy urged this question with Mr. Elder, and possibly with General Streeter too, before she sent her bylaw amendment stating, quote, "The Christian Science Board of Directors shall consist of 5 members, end quote. It is also possible that God had spoken to her through Genesis 14, which is the battle of the 4 kings with the 5 kings. In this battle, the brethren of Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, were taken captive, and Abraham, Fidelity, Science and Health, page 579, quote, "pursued them unto Dan," end quote. Dan, animal magnetism, so-called mortal mind, controlling mortal mind. Science and Health, page 583, quote, "And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." End quote. Fidelity is the way. At one time, Mrs. Eddy told Calvin Fry that he was placed in the front ranks of Christian Scientists. Calvin said, quote, "I know it, but I do not understand why it should be so," end quote. The leader responded, quote, "because of your faithfulness," end quote. The Battle of the 4 Kings against the 5 Kings in Boston erupted in the courts after both Mrs. Eddy and Mr. McClellan were no longer present. The directors dismissed John V. Dittamore from the board on March 17, 1919, and he sued to be replaced. The court found in favor of Mr. Dittamore because of the 3 members who met and voted his dismissal. One was Edward A. Merritt, who had succeeded to McClellan's position, making him the 5th director. And the court determined that the vote of the 5th director did not count. Voiding Mr. Merritt's vote left the vote standing at 2-2, a tie, and according to the findings of the court, Mr. Dittamore had not been dismissed. Mrs. Eddy may have foreseen such proceedings, but it is certain that no one else did in March of 1903. The main concern of the directors was, quote, the present purchase of land in Boston, end quote. And in this regard, Mrs. Eddy had written them on March 9th, I hereby request that it be named in the deed of land that the same inscription which is on the outside of the present church edifice shall be placed on the new church. Also, I request that according to page 108, clause number 3 of the old deed, as published in our manual, you add to the deeds of land the following clause. No new tenant or bylaw shall be adopted by this church, and no tenant or bylaw shall be amended or annulled without the written consent of Mary Baker G. Eddy, the author of our textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. My dear students, I foresee that if you add to your deed the aforesaid clause, it will save you sad experience. It will tend to keep out of our church disloyal students and to preserve the loyalty of those who are members thereof. The legal member of the board, Mr. McClellan, may have suggested the addition of the phrase, quote, during her natural life, end quote. For in her letter of March 10th, with the, quote, no, quote, underlined, she wrote, quote, during her natural life, no, end quote. Once again, her followers were acquiring deeds to the land upon which to erect the edifice made with hands, while the leader was laying the foundation for the structure, quote, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, end quote. The land the directors were acquiring was essentially triangular in shape, bounded by St. Paul, Norway, and Falmouth Streets. The point where Norway and Falmouth Streets meet is the original Mother Church. The deed of trust for that parcel of land is in the manual, page 128. The deeds for the 9 other parcels, which complete the block, all contain the further trusts specified in Mrs. Eddy's letter on March 9th. They also contain the words, quote, executive members, end quote. For early in 1903, the designation, quote, first members, end quote, was changed to executive members. One of the 9 deeds is included in the manual on page 136. The last parcel was acquired on March 30th. The Boston Globe stated, the last parcel in the block bounded by Falmouth, Norway, and St. Paul Streets, in the shape of a triangle, has passed to the ownership of the Christian Science Church. In purchase of this parcel, which is known as the Hotel Brookline, a 4-story brick building, also in the shape of a triangle, from Gilbert C. Carpenter, it gives to the above society the ownership of the entire block. During the past 2 weeks, considerable activity has been going on in property on these streets. Just what use the society will make of the property has not been stated. No block is so well situated for church purposes as this one, being in a fine part of the city. Before this last purchase was recorded, Mrs. Eddy had written to Joseph Armstrong, specifying another foundation stone in her, quote, Church Universal, and triumphant, end quote. March 22nd, 1903. Beloved student, one thing in my haste was forgotten, namely the designation of the First Church of Christ Scientist as my church. The question will be, is asked, whose church is it? We cannot say it is Mr. Herring's or the Board of Directors' church, for it surely is not. It was my church in the beginning, as much as Mrs. Stetson's church is hers. We must be orderly in these things, or it will lead to difficulties that you do not see, but I do see them. Now, dear one, I entrust you with this secret. Do not disappoint me. The next deed you have made, have it read, quote, Mary Baker G. Eddy's Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist, end quote, in the deed. Remember this. Consult with Elder on it and keep it from other ears and tongues. Ask Elder if this cannot be done in your next deed. Write me his answer. Mr. Elder obviously said that it could be done, for though most of the deeds were already recorded, the next one, which was from the carpenters, included the words, quote, the executive members of Mary Baker G. Eddy's church, the First Church of Christ Scientist, end quote. This stipulation was further emphasized with a bylaw titled Designation of Deeds, Article 34, Section 2, Manual, page 102. The first manual published in 1903 was the 28th edition, which was also the first manual providing for a 5-member board of directors. This bylaw also included the double check that the leader held over her directors and which she had first included in the 10th edition of the manual in 1899. Several editions had included a section titled 10th Edition, The Authority. The 28th edition states, Directors, Section 4. The Christian Science Board of Directors shall consist of 5 members. They shall not fill a vacancy occurring on that board except the candidate is approved by the pastor emeritus and the remaining members of the board. This bylaw can neither be amended nor annulled except by the written consent of Mrs. Eddy, the pastor emeritus. The 28th edition had no sooner been published than new bylaws were required in relation to the land deeds for the erection of the extension of Mary Baker G. Eddy's church. Every great spiritual discovery had gone through 3 stages and had been lost to the world by the time the 3rd stage was complete. The 3 stages are persecution, popularity, and organization. Mrs. Eddy's discovery had survived the persecution and was enjoying unprecedented prosperity. In fact, it was a youthful giant frightening those who chose to cling to the ways of the world and to orthodox beliefs. Organization was necessary to direct the steps of this young giant, but only the leader saw the perils of organization, and none but the leader could foresee or even believe that her great discovery would become nothing but lifeless words unless the perils of organization could be overcome. To this end, she worked unceasingly, but this was a part of the leader's great mission that few, if any, of her students were aware of, and that not one of them understood. She wrote to a student in 1903, quote, "Oh, the amount that I see to be done for all before Christian Science is established on the rock against which the billows beat in vain. My labors are harder now than ever before." End quote. So the leader labored on, and much of her work at this time was with her manual. But what all the world saw on the 1st of April was the new publication, Der Christian Science Herald, in the German language. Thanks poured in from Germany and from many other places, including the following from California. Having resided in the United States for nearly 30 years, I thought myself so familiar with the English language that the German publication would be of no benefit to me. The first appearance of our new periodical, however, dispelled this illusion, and I found that sentences which have been read over many times in the English never appealed to my thought as when read in my mother tongue. A practitioner in Saratoga Springs, New York, wrote of sending her patient home with Der Herald to a very sick husband who had been in bed several days, and of finding him completely healed of rupture and cold the following Sunday. Mrs. Seal wrote from Berlin, "The first number of Der Christian Science Herald came to us this week, and at our Wednesday evening meeting, it was suggested by one of our German members that a vote of thanks be sent to our leader, whose untiring love has made this possible, and to her faithful workers at headquarters." The need for literature with which to feed the hungry hearts has seemed very great. The loving faith of these dear people who have been coming to the meetings month after month, and some of them year after year, to drink in all of truth that they could glean from the reading, has been touching beyond expression. Those who could do so have studied English, but not all of them could do that. Ours is indeed a happy church and congregation, and expressions of thankfulness are coming from all parts of Germany. Augusta Stetson's visit on the 11th of April brought a ray of sunshine to the leader's busy schedule. During their conversation, she invited Augusta's church to Pleasant View during the coming communion season, but amended the invitation in a note that evening. "My precious student, I said two things to you today that I must recall before I sleep. One was in reference to W, the other to our next communion. Let God deal with her, and promise me that you will not name my reference to her today, will you? Also, I invited you and your dear church to come here at our next communion season. But I meant that if my church come generally, to be sure that you, dear one, and your church shall come also. I want my church to act in unity, and each one to prefer another, and to love one another, even as I have loved them. Darling, I love to think of your cheerful face that I saw today, to think of you as happy and prosperous. Oh, may God bless you, dear, and crown your life with His love. Ever tenderly, lovingly thine, M. B. Eddy." On the 1st of April, Calvin Fry's salary was raised from $1,000 per year to 100 per month. This was probably in accordance with the new bylaw, Opportunity for Serving the Leader, which would appear in the next 29th edition of the manual. This bylaw provides for calling students to serve at Pleasant View, and the closing sentence read, "These assistants of the pastor emeritus shall be paid semi-annually at the rate of $1,200 yearly, in addition to rent, board, and traveling fare for the round trip." In 1903, $1,200 without room and board was double the annual salary of a great many people. Even the directors of the Mother Church were paid much less. In January 1903, Article 6, Section 1 of the manual stated, quote, "The salary of each member of this board shall at present be $700 per annum," end quote. In April, when she first sent the new bylaw to the directors for their approval and to be included in the new manual, she wrote them, "When a nation defends itself against wrong, it is sometimes driven to accomplish this through its army. Our cause needs defense, and its principal fort needs fortification. I now call soldiers to supply this need. Defend this fort and the officer working within it for her church, the field, and the world. When a nation needs more soldiers, it necessarily drafts them. I have come to this necessary call for Christian Scientists to hold our fort in God's service. I gladly pay them for their service and give mine. My only sigh is that these soldiers of the cross have not been volunteers." The leader knew that Pleasant View, which she sometimes called Fort Besieged, needed fortification. She knew that this, quote, "principal fort," end quote, and, quote, "the officer working within it," end quote, needed the defense of seasoned, dedicated, quote, "soldiers of the cross," end quote. But early in May, and before this bylaw was published, or the defenses strengthened, the fort and the officer within suffered a severe attack, weakening the soldiers she did have. A few days later, she changed the bylaw and wrote her directors again. "Some of the students went away from me in my sorest hour of need, and I regret to say it, apparently heartless in my dire necessity. This has at times grieved me almost to death. Also, before I changed the bylaw, I deeply pondered the example of our great way shower when calling his students and compelling them to leave all for him, and his call was without conditions, imperative. This bylaw may be the hobby of my foes and be criticized by my friends, but such has been the case with all of my movements in the first stages of the history of Christian Science. I am watching and praying that I do just his bidding and, quote, hurt not the oil and the wine," end quote. It is possible that the change she made was the addition of the sentence, quote, "A member who leaves her in less time without her consent, or who is discharged, shall be dropped from the church," end quote. But that was not the sentence that caused a great stir in the field. Theoretically, the men in the Christian Science ranks had recognized the equality of male and female, even though the nation as a whole had not. Quote, "The error of the ages is preaching without practice," end quote. Science and Health, page 241. And evidently, that is what a good many male scientists were doing. What else could account for the amendment to this bylaw, which later changed it to read, male members shall be paid semi-annually at the rate of $1,200 yearly, in addition to rent and board. Female members shall receive $1,000 annually, with rent and board. This issue of unequal salary was finally resolved in the 73rd edition of the manual in 1908. Quote, members thus serving the leader shall be paid semi-annually at the rate of $1,000 yearly, in addition to rent and board.